Entertain a motion to approval of the agenda.
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
And a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, a motion made in second to approve the agenda. Motion carried. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Approval of minutes. Anybody have any questions on that? If not, I'll entertain an approval of minutes on June 15 of 2022.
I move to approve the minutes from June 15th, 2022.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been motion made in second to approval of minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Number five, public comments, agenda items, ADRC communication.
Okay. So we have Mariah here today. Mariah runs our transportation program. And so in staying with everything, we wanted to kind of just give everybody, since we've had some new members on, we're just going to have spotlight somebody each month to give just a little bit of a view of the programs that we run. So Courtney did last month with nutrition. And so Mariah's here to talk about transportation just briefly. So
I'm just passing around what is our transportation brochure. And with that, you'll see the different programs that we have, and I'll talk about those, but you'll also see some of the local services, such as the Platteville Taxi, the state offered transportation, and Lyft out of Dodgeville. Those things are listed on there because we are a resource center. It's not just about what we can do, but it's, you know, connecting people with to meet their needs. So, you know, it's not a competition for what we can, you know, getting the most numbers or anything like that, but it's just getting people in touch with what their needs are. So that's why those are listed on there, is so that if we can't help, we can give them that resource. But within the ADRC, we have bus services. We have a bus that runs 3 days a week, and it picks up at various locations. We have it set up so that it goes to even the small communities in Grant County, which we all know that Grant County is very large. And some of those smaller communities aren't using the services yet, but we're slowly getting in there. Today, we're picking up in Bagley. We're only picking up a couple, but, you know, getting the word out there is the main thing right now. So, and once they get picked up, they'll go on the bus and they'll go to one of the larger communities that has a Walmart and all these, and, you know, other places that they can get their errands and prescriptions picked up and their needs met there. So the bus is $3 for a round trip. So honestly, it's cheaper right now to get on the bus and go to Platteville than it is to get in your car and drive. So the driver, he helps people get their packages to the door once they've, you know, got all their cat litter and all their dog food and everything picked up. He'll help you get that to the door too. So very reasonable and accommodating with that. So we also have the TRIPS program. That is individuals, volunteers who use their own vehicles and pick people up at their homes, take them to their medical appointments, wait for them and bring them back home. They do get reimbursed for that, just for their mileage. And that is at the IRS rate. So that just went up a little bit. But they're, you know, they're responsible for all the wear and tear, you know, repairs and everything on their vehicles. So we're fortunate we still have 20 after COVID and gas prices and everything else, but they're very good people that are amazing to, you know, use their own vehicles and pick somebody up. So we also have the Grant County Taxi that runs 4 days a week. It runs in Lancaster 2 days from 7:30 to 4 o'clock. And then it runs in Boscobel and Lancaster Wednesdays and Fridays. And it does a morning in one community and an afternoon in the other. And then it flops on the other days. That will take you anywhere within the city limits. Here in Lancaster, it does come out to Orchard Manor. But otherwise, we kind of stay within the city limits. And that's $2 for a one-way ride, $4 for a round trip, 50 cents for your stops in between. So again, we try to keep everything, you know, very reasonably priced so that everyone's able to use the services. So We also have a wheelchair van, and we do not employ anyone full-time for that position, but we have drivers that are very accommodating, whether it's nights, weekends, you know, whatever it is. They try to be there to get people to, you know, once they're in those wheelchairs, it's hard to get them to the family events. So we got a driver that takes people to many weddings and funerals and things like that. So, and that's an hourly rate, and then the mileage rate also. So, like I said, we are short on volunteers, but the volunteers we have are amazing. We're hoping that once COVID is a thing of the past and gas prices go back down, that, you know, there's a few more people that are willing to step up and help out, because it's a wonderful program. It's helping people stay in their homes longer and you know, helping us that are still in the workforce that can't just take off to help mom and dad or grandma and grandpa get to their appointments. So anything that I missed, that I talked too fast, or questions?
Why is the bus so cheap?
Riders.
Because when we had it at $5 a ride, which is what I think we used to have it at, we had almost no riders.
And we also used to charge them for their stops. And that became hard, because you'd have one person going to the store, and then, you know, you got five other people asking her to get, can you get me milk? Can you get me this? You know, just because, I mean, 50 cents adds up for some people.
I get it, but with the taxis, $4 are not good. You can't leave town. It seems like the bus should be.
The taxi gets it. Yeah, I don't disagree, but if we did lower it, because we didn't have the bus running for 2 years over COVID, so when we started it back up, we thought we'd do it at a little bit more reasonable price in order to maybe attract people who might find it more.
So the trip today to Bagley is going to Pertusheen.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to give a couple of the places that they attend to?
Do you want to just pass it around? So generally we're trying to pick up in three close areas. So today I think it was going to be, I'm not going to try to guess. I'm sorry.
Glenhaven, Bagley, and Wailusa.
Yeah.
Going to Prairie.
Anyone can jump on our bus as well if we've got space. So you don't necessarily have to be 60 and over. Or
so if I want to go to Platteville tomorrow, I can get on the bus.
If we've got space, you can. You could anyway. As you already qualify. So yeah, have at her.
It's going to take me all day
to make the trip. You want to explain how... They each get about two or three stops.
They get three stops. And generally we try to round trip, try to be in that 5 hour range, just because we do have elderly people that, you know, need to use bathrooms and need to stay on a eating schedule and things like that. So we try to not have it be an all day thing. But, you know, if you got on in Lancaster and they were picking up in Potosi, Dickeyville, you know, Hazel Green, Cuba City, you might be on there longer than the person who's getting picked up in Cuba City. So.
On the wheelchair van, my wife saw that Lancaster Health Services, and a while ago they talked to me, I have a handicap accessible van for my wife. They talked to me about possibly helping them by taking people from the nursing home to the hospital. But then when we looked into what insurance would be just for me to do it, it was prohibitive. Do they know about this service? They probably
We don't do a lot of medical transports for the nursing homes. Okay. We will take people from the nursing homes for like outings and things, but we limited that because at the time when we did it, we had 11 nursing homes in Grant County, and we were just getting inundated with requests from them. And they're really responsible for providing that service. So it just got to be like, So we typically tell them no to that, because we have to prioritize our, you know,
our services for that.
And I couldn't afford it either. What it did to my insurance was crazy.
Yeah, and we would be doing it all the time. I mean, almost all the nursing homes anymore have kind of a rehab portion to make money, and so it would be really cost prohibitive for us too. So
makes sense.
Any other questions for Mariah?
I'm Kathy Kopp from I'm also on the city's commission on aging. I'm only assuming that they have all of your flyers, that infinite, how do you get this out? I mean
obviously, you know, anyone who calls in, we are offering that resource to them. But as far as getting them out to the cities and things like that, I mean, I would definitely get you a handful, and anyone who would want to get them someplace, I will supply with as many as you want.
So in non-COVID times, we have put them out in the senior housing. Most of the senior housing, or several of them anyway, used to give a packet of information for their people that included our services. Obviously, with COVID, we have not been out in senior housing. You've done
presentations at senior
housing.
We did drop off the bus schedule when the bus started running, and a lot of the senior housing, just to get the word out that we, you know, are running the bus again. So,
from my perspective, I'm big on the marketing things. So
yes.
I have a commission on aging tonight or later this afternoon. Maybe we could come up with a plan to help distribute all of the materials that you have to those places. And maybe we could spur some other communities to help.
Sure. We've just kind of started our marketing plan back up. Again, with COVID, everything was pretty much shut down except for taxi ran. We are looking at that. The bus schedule is in our news and views that goes out to all the households in Grant County. So we will be talking about that as well. But yeah, in normal non-pandemic times, we used to go out and do much more community presentations and things like that, but kind of getting back at that. So. And then also our home delivered, they get that kind of information as well. So yeah. All right. Any other questions for Mariah? All right. Thank you for
doing
that. I appreciate it.
Okay, we got the public hearing.
Yeah, so every year Unified and Social Services and usually us come together to do a public hearing. Social services is mandated. We are not mandated every year to do that, but we are part of this one. I usually do it anyway, so we just thought we would sit in. We will have to have a separate public hearing for transportation programs in a few more months before I do the transportation grants. But every 3 years when we do the big aging plan, we're required to have a public hearing, and typically I do that one separately. Just to be more specific to the aging plan, but we will see now. That's all I have on that.
Okay, the advocacy reports and or activities.
General Board?
Well, I was there and you were on the video.
Yeah.
This is normal. I don't have anything to report. I could make something up.
Danica went through, did she go through how the budget?
Yes, she did.
Did she do how it's budgeted in the FE? So
it.
She talked about how, because we time report, she talked about that process and how we attract money. So that was, I think, the main part of the meeting, if I recall.
Yes, I agree.
I think that was pretty much
good
it.
Time.
So.
Okay. 2023 budget.
Okay. Do you want to just put that up on the screen? And I did make some though, I guess. Forgot. So I'm passing out two. One is the 2022 and one is the 2023. And I made like double copies of that. Which wasn't working right. My head wasn't working right. So, but we've got the comparison up here too. I just wanted to show you. So right now, it's not looking fabulous. However, we will be going back through it again. I usually do about 3 or 4 passes on the budget before I'm happy with it or satisfied or think I've gotten everything that I can. So right now we've got some unknowns. If you look at it, our revenues are actually less right now than they were in 2022. Part of that is we had a lot of COVID money in 2022 that we will not likely have in 2023. Although there is a possibility of us getting some increases, but that's not clear yet. So there's some possibility of an Older Americans Act increase, and there's some possibility that we could have some carryover of COVID money. But again, those are unknowns, so I can't budget for them. So that's part of the reason our revenues are a little bit lower. Also, I estimated our revenues a little bit lower because gas prices are high, food is high. So I think some of our donations for our food program and things will be a little bit lower as well. You can also see our expenses are higher. And obviously we've got fuel prices higher. We've got food prices much, much higher. Our paper supplies, everything is higher. The county did do some wage increases. So people start higher wage, and then we've gotten some additional cost of living money. Insurance is also a factor right now, and that's where I might have a little bit of leeway. Right now, I've got about four or five staff with different family situations happening that could impact our insurance. I don't have the ability to really talk to people that in depth about what are you going to do with your insurance. So we have to kind of wait on that. So potentially I budgeted that high because obviously we have to be prepared for that if they would take higher insurance, but that could change. So not everybody has family insurance like I think. So, but I am budgeting for that for right now. And we'll know more about that towards probably the end of summer. Caregiver wages are a sticking point for me right now. That GWAR, who is our funders, they are kind of the middleman who gets the Americans Act funding and then passes it along to us. They have changed the way they're doing our caregiver program expenses, and I'm not convinced that it's correct yet. So stay tuned because I keep asking questions so what they're saying now is we have always charged a portion of whoever did our caregiver program to that program for wages. Now they're saying all those wages have to be a direct expense that is in our database. So it has to be she's provided either case management expenses or she's provided support group or she's provided this, and they're not allowing for any admin. They're telling me I have to switch admin over. I'm not convinced that that's really right yet. So I'm kind of pushing on that a little bit to see what happens. However, I did budget it that way. So that's why service management looks a little bit higher because of that. So again, as we get more money or as we get more information on that, that could possibly change. But that is what I have for the most part. Any questions?
Can you explain the taxi?
I wish I could explain why that. Oh yeah, that comes out on there. I apologize. That comes out as Dodgeville taxi. Shouldn't even be in there. On the 2022 one, I didn't have an AFCSP line. So that is actually the AFCSP, the Alzheimer's Family Awareness. Several years ago, we ran the Dodgeville taxi. We actually had a vehicle over there. Don't ask me how that came about because it was before my time. And we transferred it back to Iowa County a few years ago. Why I can't get this out of our finance line, I don't know, but it always shows up. So with the new system, it will be out. So we don't run it anymore. And the $24,000 in the 22 one is NFCSP. I just So I stuck it in there. So yeah, we don't run it anymore. So, but we used to. The DOT vehicle trust doesn't show any money. There is money in the vehicle trust. It just doesn't impact our revenues and expenses. Any money, if we don't spend all of our DOT funds in a year, we have the ability to put them in the trust, which is how we got the facility back here built, because we have trust money to do that. So that trust money has a limit of $80,000, and we have like $313,000 in it. Because of COVID, we didn't run any programs, and so they allowed that to happen. We already had a good amount going into COVID, and we're not the only ones in the state, so which is why we're getting the vehicle shed built, because they wanted that out. I was surprised they let it go, but I think COVID actually did us a blessing there, because we might not have been able to keep all that had COVID not hit. Any other questions on any of it? The undesignated, if you look at that, I didn't explain that. So the undesignated is the cost allocation. So the county calculates all the cost of the other programs like IT, personnel, finance, maintenance, and all of that. And then allocates that out to all of our programs. That has helped in the past. We actually did that several years ago because I felt we were losing some of our ADRC money to other counties because we couldn't capture that cost. So that's why we started doing that, because we weren't spending out entirely of our ADRC and other counties were charging admin and we were not. So that's why we started doing that. That ship is probably about ready to sink, because now everything is so much higher that we don't have that probably anymore. So that is something I'll probably talk with finance about too. I mean, I think cost allocation is always a good thing in some ways, because I think you get to understand the true cost of what it takes to run these departments. However, it is not done, quote me if I'm wrong, Bob, or tell me if I'm wrong, but it's not really done countywide. So I don't think you get a true cost of that. So I don't think if you look right now at all the departments, say you looked at the sheriff's department, I don't think you would understand the true cost of that department compared to ours. I think ours would be pretty close because all the cost allocation is in there. I don't know if that's the same for the health department, the sheriff department, DSS.
I would agree with you. That's all I'm going to say.
So, you know, it just depends. When we came into this building, we pay utilities, we pay building rent, phones, different things. And I don't think that happens everywhere. So that's my take. So I think sometimes it makes us look like it's more expensive than it is, but in reality, it is expensive. And if it was done equally across all the programs, you'd really know the true cost of what it costs to run these programs. Shane does not come cheap, I'm going to tell you.
In the bus I go.
That's all. We go to marketing events?
Yes. We don't need approval on this budget. We'll come back with a final budget, and you'll have a final line item budget when I come back with it to look at. So okay. I just kind of wanted to give you an overview of where we're at right now. So we talked about Elderfest at the last meeting and talked about doing a drive-through version. And then Lori started having nightmares about it because of the amount of traffic we had last year. I'm really concerned if we did it again this year that we are going to tie up County A more than is safe. So I talked with Jeff from the health department about doing an in-person one. He felt we could, and I realized there's a variant out there now that's again making me have nightmares all weekend, because as soon as we made the call, I swear that the press on that all ramped up. So we are looking at an in-person one. And of course, we're ADRC and we like a good party, so we had to have a theme. because we like themes at our office. So it's Elder Fest back in the saddle again. We are going to get that out to vendors. We'll see what kind of response we get. If numbers ramp up, if Jeff thinks we cannot do it, we may have to cancel it or punt. But with our staff shortages this fall and the fact that we had close to 400 cars last year and some concerns on County A, I just felt like I'm afraid we have 500 this year and we just can't do that. So we're going to try it in person. We'll see. We might require masks. We might not. We'll kind of play it by ear. We have shortened the time. It has normally gone, well, we've shortened it a few times now. I think it used to go 9 to 1. We shortened it from 9 to 12:30. The last one, I think we did 9 to noon. Vendors have asked for a shorter time. Typically, they all show up at 9. I mean, the majority of our people are, like, we usually have people waiting for the doors to open. Yes, at 8 o'clock, we usually have people. We have to literally keep the doors locked because they want in. So we've shortened up the time because typically they're there early and then just waiting till the end. So I did speak to a friend of mine about providing music. So Doug Wayne is going to be there. He's a local musician from Northern Grant County. So he's going to provide some music for us. He plays a lot of country music. So, and he's kind of a cowboy, so he'll fit he'll fit our theme. And then again, we'll offer free transportation. We are not going to offer a full lunch. In the past, we have done a lunch too, but since we have cut back on the time, we are just going to offer some refreshments. So it'll probably be coffee and maybe water and just a light refreshment. We may still have to do Vespam and donuts because people really like those. But we're going to keep that pretty simple. And leave it at that. We did think about having people bring their own tables because again, we're so short staffed. But I talked with Gary from our maintenance department, and he had said that he would have a couple guys come out and maintenance guys come out and help us with the tables because the tables are god awful out there. And that's our biggest problem in the setup of it is the table setup. So he agreed to have somebody there for us, which is really, really nice. I really appreciate that. And then the IT department is going to be there this year. I talked with Shane last week about just the possibility. IT doesn't usually provide services to county citizens. They provide services to county departments, which ultimately benefit county citizens, but county citizens don't usually see the IT department. So I thought it would be nice if maybe they could have a table there just to help people with, you know, people always have, you know, on their phone, something like, I got this icon or I got this thing and I don't know what it means.
It's talking back to me.
Yes. He keeps doing this and I don't know why. So we just thought we would have them there to be of technical assistance and you know, we'll advertise that a little bit that, you know, you can bring in your tablet or your phone if you got a question on it. And maybe our IT department can help you out. So and Deanna agreed to do it. So we're kind of excited about that. I think that will be a nice thing. The health department is also going to have a COVID vaccine booster and then their regular flu, tetanus, pneumonia vaccine clinic too. We are actually going to give them dedicated space. In the past, they've done their vaccine boosters at a table, but we're actually, I think, going to give them some dedicated space for that this year so that they can run that as well. So did I cover everything, Court? I think I did. I think we've got it. Our bus will run that day. Yeah, I think for the most part, we've got it. So any questions on that? So we might come back at you if you've got any ability to help and volunteer. We might ask you to do that. I think we can get by with this. It's actually easier. Our in-person events look like they'd be more work, but our drive-through events are much more work for us than the in-person is. So thank you.
I was talking again for
okay.
Volunteers coming from Bosco.
Fabulous. Wonderful. That will be great. Yeah. No, we'll take all the help we can get. That would be good. So we're hoping that it works. You know, people have been really wanting it back. So let's keep your fingers crossed that we can do it. The fair, we will be at the fair. Talk to Amy. She will have a tent for us at the fair. I'm sorry, I did not have the date. I think it's
19. Senior day.
Yeah, the 19th. Yep. So we will be there. I wanted to have some music. It did not work out this year. So I'll be hitting up Amy. I thought I hit her up early enough last year, but apparently I did not. So we're going to look at that for next year. Because I would like to do more with that. If we're going to be there and it is senior day, I would like to have it be for seniors. But so we'll work on that a little bit, but we will be there. We'll have some type of fair booth activity things going on. We'll have our giveaways and some staff there. So we had a fair amount of people come last year. So we feel like it's...
That's what you have at the fair. It's a fair amount.
It's sad. And we got to be across from you last. Yeah. Keep an eye on you.
I got a free umbrella.
There you go. There you go. so yeah, so we will be there from 8 in the morning until 4:35 probably. That's all I have on that.
Okay, you got your number 9, DOT drug and alcohol policy revision.
All right, so I apologize for not sending this out to you. We can delay it for another month if you would like the full policy. So we have to do a separate drug policy separate from the counties if we have CDL drivers, but because we have we get federal transit money, we have to work with that program as well. It's a separate program. So we've had a drug policy in place. Just met with Becky Solderstrom, who's the DOT compliance officer at the state, a while back. And she had reviewed our new one and made some suggestions. Can you bring that down to the other?
The revision one, or do you want this one?
I think, oh, wait, sorry. I did pass. I keep forgetting I have this. So I did not pass this all out because I've got the table of contents here. And everything she did really didn't make any significant changes to the policy. It just basically took out language that she thought was a little too much. So if you look at the table of contents, they made it more concise, no major changes, edits made to clarify, move language to the front, move to the end, simplified language, move to the front, entire section is now underlined. So none of the language, we can go through it if you want to look at it, but none of the language when I compared it was any significant changes at all. So we can either... Can you put, is this the policy? This is that one, okay.
Yeah.
So we can either go through it, if you want to review the changes, we can do it today and just on the screen, or I can get you copies of it and send it out to you and we can approve it at the next meeting if you want to approve the policy in full. So this would be for our drivers that operate with our federal funds, which would be the taxi. Well, we use the taxi, the wheelchair van. Anybody that's a safety sensitive driver, so our bus driver as well is what we use. Probably one of the things that we were not doing that I talked with Joyce about was if we, how did that go? If we, but when we interview people, we have to ask them if they have ever tested positive on a test. We never used to do that. So we are doing that for those drivers now and did that in this last one. And then if we have somebody do a pre-employment test that tests positive, we have to then offer them substance abuse counseling information. So those were the two things that we had not done in the past that we are doing. So if you want to go through this, how would you like to do this? Do you want to kind of look through? I only highlighted the areas that changed, but like I said, the the intent did not change on any of it. It's the same policy it was. So would you like a copy of it and review it and then approve it next month? Or do you want to just kind of look through it? Or do you trust me to tell you that there isn't any significant changes and approve it? What's your call?
Why don't you get us a copy and we'll
lose it. Okay. We will send it out to you then. All right. And we'll put it on for next month. Do that.
Can you move on to number 10, Mark?
Yeah.
Number 10, DOT.
So I put the DOT 5311 grant on there because it had come up. Typically, in non-flush years, I'll say, we usually use this grant to get vehicles. But in reviewing the trust fund, I don't think we're going to do that. I think we'll use our own trust fund money. I think we've got enough in it to at least purchase one vehicle, if not two. When everything shakes out, I think we'll actually have. We don't know the actual prices of the vehicle vans. The only thing I've heard through 5310, and that's 5311. That's a mistake on my part, I believe. I think it was supposed to be 5310. I apologize for that. I have too many 53 programs. I think when I wrote that, I meant to have it be 5310. 5311, I will be having you approve. So I want to be clear on that, but that will come up probably next month. We'll do 8521 and 5311. To move forward with that. I guess we could do that. I guess it really doesn't matter. We probably could. Well, to keep it clear, I usually run those together because we do a resolution. So I'd rather not. So I apologize. That was absolutely my mistake. I was thinking 5310. So in terms of 5310, we use that for vehicles, but we've gotten word on 5310, that number one, they're having trouble getting those modified vehicles. Those are our vans that have the lift. And not only are they having trouble getting them, the cost has gone up obviously significantly with them. So we actually got something from DOT yesterday, and I haven't even had time to review it, that said something about they would maybe be allowing people to buy non-accessible vehicles. So I'm not sure. I didn't get to all of it. So I don't know if they're thinking we would buy the non-accessible, or they'd give it to us and then we would have to have it retrofitted with the lifts when they're available is what I'm thinking. But I don't know. So sorry, I apologize. I'm on a roll this week for problems with my ADRC board. So I don't think we want a 5310 grant anyway. So I think anything we'll do, we'll buy outright out of our trust, because our trust needs to come down. And DLT will question me why I'm asking for grant money if I've got hundreds of thousands sitting in the trust. So, and we'll lose that eventually if we don't spend it. So just to clarify that, I apologize. Sorry for that mistake. Okay. So we don't need to do anything with that here.
Okay. 11, approval of vouchers. I'll entertain a motion to approve that. So moved. Second.
A second.
Okay, no motion made and second. Approve the vouchers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Financial report.
I think we're right on target. A couple things that we are, like I told you before, that we're working through is Nicole's wages. So we are charging to NFCSP all her wages right now, and then we will probably have to make some adjustments to that depending on how this plays out with Laura. So we do have the ability to charge more per time, I think, to ADRC, and then we'll take some out of service management, provided I actually have to do this, and I'm not convinced yet that I do. So So we'll keep you on track on that. But otherwise, we are pretty much on track with most of the budgets. We are still seeing a trend as far as home delivered and not congregate, which I think is going to impact our budget next year. My big concern is that we get about 180. What did I have on that? Oh, I just have it all as meals. We get about 186 or 166. I'm trying to think. I think it's 166,000. Or this year, we got 166,000 in congregate meals. We only get 40,000 for home delivery. And with COVID, we had the ability to transfer that money from congregate to home delivered without any restrictions. This year, they started restricting it to 50%. I'm hoping they keep it at least at 50%, but it could go down to 30%, which will really then be a problem for us if we don't have the congregate people coming in and we still have a high number of home delivered. Because the reality is a lot of people became more homebound after COVID and still are. And I can't deny somebody meals based on the fact that they're worried about going out with a variant running, or, you know. So that could be a problem for us. Again, it's one of those things that I think the state is tying that percentage up unnecessarily. I don't think that that's all coming out of the feds. I think the state has always had it wanted to see congregate, wanted to see, and they still do. And there's reasons why social isolation is a problem, but it's also a problem if people need meals and we can't get them and we don't have the funding, and it could cost the county much more money. So that could be an issue. So just to let you know that is still happening. Other than that, I would say that we are very close on track. Everything else. I don't think that there's anything that we're not. We're pretty good. You think of anything else going on? We're going to have a few more expenses this year in terms of we need more home delivered trays because we've had a run on those.
Yeah, and it's home delivered supplies, so ice packs, heat packs, all that.
But considering what our disposables have been cost,
right?
You know, it's the trays are still more economical. So, any other questions on the finance report? Anything on there that you're? Okay, we do need approval of that or acceptance of it anyway. We get a motion to accept it.
Financial report?
Yeah.
I move to accept the financial report.
I'll second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Okay. That's all, Lori. I have a entertaining motion to adjourn.
Oh, no, we got.
Oh, you got program report?
So, pretty much my director's report is everything you've seen today. We're working on Elder Festival, working on the fair. We've been working on the budget. We're busy in the office things. We did get Kathy Rosh hired. She is at our front desk, doing an excellent job. She just started what last feels like she's been here longer. She's picked up the phones really, really fast, and fitting in really well. She's willing to help out. So that's been really nice. That will put a lot less pressure on Courtney and Mariah, who's been covering that for quite some time now. So that'll be good. So I don't think I need to go into any more on that. And then program reports you have as well.
Yeah.
And
funds are not here. Okay. So everything else is here. So I'll take them off on my phone.
On the program reports, I'll just point out a couple of things. EBS cases, I was looking back from last year, our EBS cases are up about 6%. Our disability cases are actually up about 29%. They are very high. Both of those ladies will be going into maternity leave in the fall, so that will impact us severely. Family caregiver program, and part of this is we're up about 98% in case management and respite 171%. Two things there are that the reporting system has changed, so Nicole is doing much more reporting on that. So while our cases have definitely gone up, respite obviously is up so much because we did not literally do hardly any respite services during COVID. So Alzheimer's, I don't have any stats on because we didn't run it in the past. And then if you go to information and assistance, our total number of contacts are up about 23%. Our total number of encounter contacts, that's actually working. Those are always direct with the consumer, are up about 16%. And our functional screens, which take up the most time for our ADRC specialists or INAs, are up 30%. So things are very, very busy. And we will go into the fall, less one INA who's going to be on maternity leave as well. So the fall shall prove to be a challenge. Do you want to say anything on your nutrition?
excuse me. The only thing I was going to just point out is, yes, the difference in congregate versus home delivered. We still have Lancaster and Muscadet. We're not open for congregate yet because we don't have volunteers or participants. So that's still a struggle. I'm just reiterating what we said earlier.
Yeah. I just don't see how that, I really don't think congregate is going to become very, very successful in the next year or two. It was on a downhill slide pre-COVID, and it's obviously worse after COVID, and we've got some state meetings coming up, and hopefully there'll be a little more pressure, I think, by programs to get the state to do something different with that funding source, and as much as they can. I think the state is setting some parameters that they necessarily have to under the federal guidelines, and they're not out here in the field, so they don't see it. So that's all we have, unless you've got any questions. Mm-hmm. All right, now we can do a motion to adjourn.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion.
Second. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed.
Thank you. Pat, have a good day.
Yeah.